Blind Cool Tech 77, August 10, 05. Hey y'all, it's... How you doing? It's... Okay, let me... I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. We've got a couple things on the show today. First off, some news and announcements. Some more playing of the mystery sound. Haven't had any guesses yet. Some email and voicemail feedback, quite a bit, so we'll try to hurry through that. Well, not hurry through it, but make our way through it as quickly as possible. And a tip and a trick about the Send To folder, a little-known cool fact in Windows XP. All right, first thing, announcements. Boy, have we had the hits on Blind Cool Tech. This is actually, we got some statistics yesterday, and this is actually what's happening. We have actually had over 48,000 downloads off the MP3 files in Blind Cool Tech since June the 7th. So, wow, that's amazing. And it has brought our server to a crawl, as most of you who have been listeners for a little while know. But the unfortunate thing is it's also brought the internal traffic at APH to a crawl. So we're going to double check that that's actually the reason, and the page will not be available today from noon to 3 Eastern Daylight Time. We'll bring it back after that, but want to also make you aware that I am going on vacation, so there won't be any new podcasts until I get back next Tuesday, the 16th of August, 05. So that actually should probably help the folks there at APH from suffering from the slow network speed internally. Our new server is on its way, so this should hopefully be a temporary problem. Okay, as I mentioned, we didn't have any guesses on the mystery sound. Here it is. I'm going to play it a few times for you, so listen closely. So if you know what that sound is, please give us a call at the audio comment line, 206-984-9203. Let's get right into the email.
Inbox Outlook, Rich Calvin.
We're using Neo Speech Paul to read the email to us this morning from nextup.com. Take it away, Paul.
No subject. Hi, Larry. My name is Rich, and I just want to say that I am really enjoying Blind Cool Tech. I have a question, though. I have heard about the iRiver IP 799, but on your iRiver demo you were using the IP 899. What are the differences? As far as I can tell from the website, they seem to me to be exactly the same. I am most certainly thinking about purchasing an iRiver because of your review. I also thought your podcast that you did regarding buying a new PC was cool. Keep up the awesome work. Rich Cavallaro.
Okay, Rich. Honestly, I don't know what the difference is. I was under the impression the 899 was newer, but we'll have to see if we can dig around, or maybe one of the listeners knows the answer to that question. Also, glad you enjoyed the sound seeing tour of buying a new PC. Okay, next email.
Hi, Larry, my name is Rich, and I just want... Hello, Larry. Thanks so much for your wonderful podcasts. I am addicted and love the Americana that you bring to every show. I have lived here in Vienna, Austria for almost 30 years. I wanted to clarify one item that you brought up in the podcast a couple of weeks ago and see clarification on something you mentioned in your August 5th episode. I don't remember which episode it was, but in one of your offerings, you mentioned the website http://www.blindcast.com link. You said that one of the hosts was Sarah Morgan, which is indeed correct. However, you went on to say that this particular Sarah might be the lady who had published some materials in the blindness field. This, however, is not true, and knowing the individual who published the documentation, I can assure you that she would be mortified if she were confused with Sarah Morgan. I am not casting aspersions on Sarah Morgan's character, but I don't think the Sarah, who has published books on Windows for blind people, would feel at all comfortable if she were in the role of doing the Blind Kiss episodes. The person who publishes training materials for Windows also heads the National Center for Tactile Diagrams in the UK. Her name is Drive. Sarah Morley Wilkins. If you want to learn more about her, you can go to http://www.nctd.org.uk link and read her bio. She is a wonderful human being. On to your August 5th episode, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to your discussion about Google. However, what particularly grabbed my interest was the opportunity to listen to the binaural microphones. Although you said that you got them from the sound professionals, I would love to know their model number. There were many, many binaural microphones listed on their website. Though there was some clipping when large trucks went by, I was very impressed with the separation characteristics that could be heard. If you could give me the model number of the microphones you made the recording with, I'd be grateful. Lastly, I will soon be purchasing the iRiver IFP8900. Peter Rann has offered to read the manual and describe any visual information, and we'd make it available to anyone who wanted it. Do you think there is a need? Peter did an incredible job reading and explaining my Sony Minitus model several years ago, and his descriptions were helpful. If you think there is enough interest in this project, we could submit it as a Blind Cool Tech contribution. And by the way, Peter is another sighted person who listens to your podcasts from time to time. Keep up the phenomenal work, Larry, and once again, thanks so much. Mike Busboom Bottom.
Okay, Mike. Well, I apologize to Sarah Morley. I can't even remember her last name now. Well, and Sarah Morgan. I got them mixed up. I guess the name just sounded the same, and so they're not the same. Okay, sorry. Also, I will get those model numbers for you. I don't have them with me, but there's a couple of people that have asked for them, so I will make those available soon. Yeah, that clipping of that big truck, oddly enough, I noticed that was not, I mean, it clipped a little bit in the original file, but after I decoded it and then re-encoded it, it was much, much worse. So what I'm going to start doing now is trying to not import those MP3 files and just leave them encoded. I'm going to try to find some editing software that will just allow you to cut, you know, frames out of MP3 files. And as far as the reading of the manual, that would be excellent. I think the listeners to this podcast would love that, and those that are not interested in the IFP 899 from iRiver can obviously just delete that show or skip past that part. The manual, like I had mentioned in an earlier podcast, is available as a PDF, but it's either not all there or something goofy is going on, because there was hardly anything in it. And I haven't had time to check that out yet. There's as you saw from the iRiver menus piece yesterday, there's a few settings in there that aren't exactly clear what they are. I would also be interested to know if there was a way to adjust the recording level without having to go into those menus. That is a bit of a drawback to this device.
Hello, Mr. Squitch, and have you gathered up all of the code?
Whoops.
Larry, I have really enjoyed all the comparisons of the various digital recorders you have been doing. What I would love to see is a podcast comparing all of the microphones you have. I mean something done in one episode where you actually use only one recorder and switch among the different mics so that we can compare the sound characteristics of each one. It seems like you may have a few of them at your disposal, and such a comparison I think would be really interesting. Regarding your binaural microphones you were trying out in the Google Tips podcast, if you are looking for feedback, here is mine. They sound absolutely amazing, and an excellent choice for perhaps sound-seeing tours in quieter places, or for conference recording. I would have to say, however, that they pick up way too much background noise for your walks to and from work. The sounds, in my opinion, were too distracting, and made it sometimes difficult to concentrate on your voice. As you mentioned, they would be a great choice for something like a tour of a zoo or perhaps inside a building. Their sound quality was really superb, though. The only time I really heard any distortion was when a very big truck pulled up near you, and I think it was more low-frequency distortion, but not sure on the point. Thanks again for all your hard work in providing your podcasts. I really enjoy them. Best regards, Rick Alfaro.
Okay, Rick, I'm actually was talking with Rob Meredith, who I work with over at APH over the weekend, and he may be interested in doing a microphone comparison. He's actually been gathering up recordings of microphones for a few years now, and, you know, testing frequency responses and just various characteristics of several microphones. So I'm going to try to talk him into doing a piece for us. I think it would be very, very interesting. One of the things I want to try, too, is with respect to those binaural microphones, is to try them with the Olympus DS2, which has that limiting filter in it, to see if that doesn't cut back on the noise a little bit. Also, you might want to try listening to the one called Podcast Reorganization that we did yesterday on the way to work. That was one that we did not decode and then re-encode. So the sound quality is quite a bit better. There's a few distracting buses and so forth, but try that one.
Hi Larry, when downloading files from the CoolTech website, it seems to be taking an awful long time. For instance, a file of 20 MB plus shows an estimated download time of just under 2 hours and an average transfer speed of 5 kbps. I am using a fast cable connection of 1 GB. I have not experienced this problem with other podcast downloads. For example, a similar sized file download from Jeff Bishop's website takes about 3 minutes. I would be interested to have your thoughts, as I am missing out on some extremely interesting subjects, which you have put together. Regards, Gordon at Concern Bottom.
Yeah, we're having some major traffic problems on our website, and we are very much aware of it and very much working on it. We've actually got a dedicated T1 line and a new server in the works, and we'll probably be doing a show about those at some point, because it's a really cool server. Going to be running Linux, and it's going to be interesting because we get total control of it and plan on doing some interesting things with it, I hope. But give us a few more weeks. I apologize for this slowness. I probably should have waited to start these podcasts till after we got that server, but I really didn't realize it was going to be this kind of traffic on it. Especially, you know, we haven't really officially even announced these yet. We're sort of still just building it up, and I'm glad now that we didn't announce it, because it could have brought the whole thing down if many more people had accessed it all at one time. So give us a little bit more, and hopefully we'll have this issue resolved.
Hello guys at Blind Cool Tech. My name is Helen and I am a junior at the University of Amsterdam. At this moment I am in a research internship and I am looking into the possibilities that podcasting has for visually impaired persons. For my research I am looking for a couple of partially sighted or blind people to ask a couple of questions. Questions like, what possibilities do you see that podcasting could create for visually impaired persons? I was hoping you guys would help me out with this. So could I please send you my questions? I'll just ask a couple of questions, so it won't take a lot of your time. Please mail me at helen@hotmail.com if you want to participate. Or just reply to this message. I would be glad if you guys would. It is very necessary for my research that visually impaired persons let me know themselves what they want from podcasting. Regards, Helen Bottom.
Well, I've actually got a few ideas there, and if any of you do, please send them along in an email or a comment. I can see some possibilities. We'll have to get around some of the publishing and copyright issues, but, you know, what about people reading various magazines, newspapers, manuals, like Mike Busboom was talking about in an earlier email? There's some good possibilities, something interesting to think about. And if you have any, I'll be glad to pass them on to Kelly.
Hi Larry, it's Joe Quinn. I have a question. I'm having trouble getting the OPML files you're talking about. When I click on it, I get not a save as dialog. When I right-click it, it says it'll save it as an HTML document. Could you send me the files as an attachment? Thanks. I'd really appreciate it. Bottom.
Okay, Joe. Send them as an attachment because that's not going to fix this problem. What I'm going to do is make a zip file of the two files, and that'll be up there by the time you hear this, so give that a try. And you're not the only one this has happened to, and you know this. We've got to deal with it. So we'll have a zip file up there shortly, and things should be okay.
Message. Larry, I love the binaural recordings you've been doing. On the Google Tips show, the traffic noises were so compelling, I found myself wanting to back out of the way a couple times. Good stuff. Lou Bottom.
Yeah, I found the same thing, Lou, when I got home. I believe that was Friday evening. I was listening to it, just seeing how it come out, and I did. I backed up a little bit there, a time or two. It was funny.
Hi, Larry. First time emailing you. Just subscribed to your podcast not too long ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Have already downloaded most all of yours and plan on recopying them onto an MP3 CD so I can play them on my FM radio CD MP3 player. I just copied your email's address into my Outlook Express address book. Thought I would send you this first email to hopefully make sure it gets there on time. By the way, are you familiar with the Olympus DS20 device? I plan on going to a local Radio Shack soon, and looking at one to see if it is accessible for the blind. It claims to be able to record for up to 44 hours on LE. Wondered if you had ever had any experience with that. Also, enjoy your podcasts. However, in the one where you mowed the lawn and trimmed your weeds, it seemed that your weed eater drowned out your voice for some of the recording, as I could not understand what you were saying from time to time while the weed eater was running. I hope to hear back from you at your convenience, or maybe hear from you on a future podcast, if you happen to read this email and would like to comment. Keep up the good work. Hope there are not too many typos in this email. Regards, Elmer Slentzbot.
Okay, Elmer, glad to have you listen to the shows. Yeah, I should have, that weed-eating episode, I should have known better that was going to drown out my voice, and it also was clipping very badly, so we'll have to redo that with some better equipment that we have now. I have not heard of the DS20, but if you would like to submit a piece about it, we'd love to hear about it from you. And glad you're enjoying the shows. Welcome. Hope we can provide you with some interesting and even entertaining information.
Hey there, Larry. What a fine podcast you have, and please do not change your style. Your way of doing things is wonderful, and you really need to keep it up, good man. Your faithful listeners love it a great deal. Thanks very much. Shane Jackson, Tuscaloosa.
All right, Shane. I'm assuming that's in reference to one of the voicemails from yesterday. And, you know, I respect what the listener had to say. He was tuning in for technical material, and I'm going to actually make that in a predictable place in the podcast so that, you know, not everybody wants to listen to all this stuff, and I really would like to make this show as useful as I can to as many people as possible. Seems like we might have a little niche here, and I'd just like to try it out. So, thanks for the feedback, Shane.
Bottom.
Okay, this is a...
where I learn of your...
forwarded this from...
Read only. Read only. Rich edit. Read only. Read only. No link work control. No link work control. MSAA. MSA. No link work control. No link work. No link work control.
Okay.
Attachment. Bottom. Top.
All right. We got to send an attachment from work. Turn off MSAA.
Where I learn of your
Shift
podcast
tab.
4.8.
Oh, okay.
Cancel. Button. Open. Forward.
Sorry about that.
Hello again, Larry. Thanks once more for answering my questions on the media center and such. In a recent podcast, you asked where people learn of your show? I got it from the Bookport mailing list. Thought I'd give you a little info about myself and what I do. I am manager of Braille Publishing at CNIB, and have had the opportunity to visit APH a couple of years ago with Jim Sanders. I believe I may have met you then as well on our tour. Trust me when I say the podcast tour was as real as the live in-person version. I am also a member of the Canadian Braille Authority and a member of the BANA Formats Committee, which just met in Boston this past week. I had the opportunity to visit again with Kim and Brian Charlson, and we spoke of your excellent podcasts. My husband Brad works for a Canadian bank, and as two of my four brothers are also bankers, you can imagine what a frequent topic of conversation is when they get together. Neither Brad or myself are originally from Toronto, though we are used to big city life now after 20 years of being here. I have held my current position about 8 years or so. I come from an audiovisual background, as my formal training, and also conduct accessibility testing for CNIB and the University of Toronto. Working at universities is enlightening, and I've worked at three in my career. I also looked after the total quality management at the CNIB library prior to this position. Well, that is the quick historical look at Debbie G. Keep up the podcasts, as they are wonderful to listen to. I often wonder if I had not obtained a Bookport, would I know about podcasts? Gee, that's one to ponder. Bye for now.
Okay, Debbie, thanks for the email, and I honestly don't remember if we met or not a few years ago. It seems like we would have. So, glad you're enjoying the podcast, and I appreciated having that biographical information there. So if any of you other listeners would like to tell us a little bit about yourselves, we would be glad to we'd be glad to listen. Here's the next email.
Show notes and such 2. Cancel. Button. Open. Forward show notes and such. Show notes and such. Hi again, Larry. I noticed that some podcasts have links listed below the show notes, such as Jeff Bishop's podcasts and Adam Curry's do. This seems like a good idea, or at least place the links of sites you have referred to in the show notes themselves. I am currently looking to see your OPML links, and don't see them listed. That's what prompted this email message. Also, if you'd rather me use the Blind Cool Tech email's address, let me know and I will do that. Whatever is easiest for you to work with is fine with me. Bottom. Forward.
Okay, I think I mentioned to you we reorganized the OPML files so they are easier to find. I think you found them already too. So we did update them yesterday.
Bottom.
So you should be able to get the latest ones and everything.
Bottom.
And let's see.
MS.
They're forward.
BCT NeoSpeech 4.0. Cancel. Button. Open.
I had forwarded these from my work address.
Hello, Larry. I just completed graduate school in June, and Bookport was definitely the most useful tool I had. I am sure I would find it useful, even if I hadn't recently lost my eyesight. It has an exceptionally well-designed interface and great functionality. Thanks to you and the people at APH for making Bookport available, and for the continual improvements to the software and firmware. I've been enjoying listening to your podcast, and have a question for you. In a couple of shows you've mentioned using NeoSpeech with your screen reader. I have NeoSpeech engines that came with Kurzweil, as well as Etsy Natural Voices, that I recently bought with Text Aloud. Actually, since I have Text Aloud-like functionality in Kurzweil, I only bought it for the Etsy Voices. Unfortunately, I've had difficulty in getting these synthesizers to work with JAWS. Freedom Scientific has a set of instructions for using alternative voices with JAWS, but it describes the steps for the pre-6.0 versions, which have different locations for the files. Next up, who published Text Aloud, and Freedom Scientific each cannot help, because they do not provide tech support for natural voices. I've been searching for some time now for a way to get either of these voices to work effectively with JAWS. Are you aware of any instructions out there that may help me? Thanks, Tom Bottom.
Okay, Tom, I don't know of any. I thought I had been using JAWS with NeoSpeech, or at least with AT&T in the past. I'll double check on that, but there's quite a few people listening to this podcast, so maybe we have a listener that can provide us some additional information about that issue. And if so, listener, please email us or call in.
Tom. Viewpoint. Hi, Larry. I was disappointed and somewhat embarrassed for you when I heard the person who called your comment line and made the negative remarks about your podcasts. I don't think you force anyone to listen or subscribe to your podcast, so I don't know why this person was so rude. To that person, if you don't like the podcasts, just unsubscribe. Larry isn't going to send someone to your door demanding your firstborn child if you do. It's like the television or radio. If you don't like a program, you can change the station or turn it off. Larry doesn't owe us anything. It is his podcast and he can do anything he wants to do with it. If people don't listen, he will either stop doing them or try doing something that will bring listeners back. It is one thing to make suggestions about something, but there is no reason to be rude. Tom Bottom.
Okay, Tom, appreciate the feedback, and let's just move on. We're going to try to improve the show with any feedback we get. And you know, by the way, I'm certainly not, you know, if you have constructive criticism or a negative comment, that is as welcome as anything here. I want to try to improve the show and try to make it what it can be, and I want to experiment with it. So I appreciate feedback from everybody.
Message. Hi, Larry. This is Holly Alonzo. I'm Edward Alonzo's wife. We listen to your show all the time. He does listen more than myself, though. We were listening today, and you were checking your voicemail, and got a message from Dean Martin. We just want to let you know that his message was completely rude and uncalled for. If he does not like the feed anymore, like he said, then he doesn't have to listen to it. We love to hear your day-to-day activity, and taking your walks and just living normal like everyone else. It's like watching a television show. You just doing normal things is what we like to hear. It's very interesting, and I'm sure other people like to hear it too. I mean, yes, your technical part of the show is a plus side to it, but your show is great itself. Don't stop doing what you're doing, whatever you do. Thank you, Holly. Holly and Ed, two people in love. Love is a precious thing we can't pass up, Bottom.
Okay, Holly, appreciate the feedback, and I love you and Edward's tagline there, two people in love. That's great.
Hi, Larry, just a note to say that I thoroughly enjoyed the Tactile Map podcast a few days ago. I visited the website and got nowhere. I emailed the presenter of the podcast and got nowhere. I telephoned the number listed and got a voicemail. TNE individual on the voicemail was the one who did the overview. I left my name, phone number, and a brief description of my inability to get around on the website. This was all on Friday of last week. Still not a word in reply. I put this off to vacations or off-site demonstrations, but it is a bit disconcerting. Just thought you'd like to know. Thanks for the great work. Dick, Donna.
Okay, Dick, I suspect that it is a vacation or something going on. Usually, Josh is very responsive and very willing to work with folks. So just give him a few more days, and hopefully we'll have some questions answered for you there, because I'm sure he wants some feedback. I mean, he made a special point to submit a piece to us, so I'm sure he's interested in getting the word out about his project.
Bottom. Larry, I followed the steps you suggested for downloading OPML files from your site. When I attempt to save either file, I receive the following error message: Microsoft Internet Explorer Graphic 79 Internet Explorer cannot download blindcasters.opml from www.af.org. Graphic 450 Internet Explorer was not able to op. Graphic 231 This internet site. The requested site is either unavailable or cannot be found. Please try again later. Okay, any suggestions? Thanks. Jamie Pauls.
Hey, Jamie. Yep, I do have a suggestion. Try it again once you hear this, because I see what's wrong and I'm going to fix it as soon as I get to work this morning. You'd think, having been in this business as long as I have, that I would know to test every single thing, even though it's the simplest little easy fix. And I know this, but I didn't actually test those live anyway, so I see what the problem is, and I will have that fixed, and I really, really apologize, man.
Hi, Larry. I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to your podcasts over the last couple of months. If you haven't had a chance, I have created my own website that I have developed since March 2003. I hope to be talking with you very soon. Lisa Hall, consultant for adaptive technology for Northwest Vista College, a college of the Alamo Community College District. Webpage http://home.sats.rr.com. Lisa Hall, phone.
Okay, Lisa. Yeah, I was hoping we could have got together while you were here at the NFB convention. And I checked out your website. Very interesting stuff. I even listened to that episode of Blind Like Me with you on it from your website. And if any of you listeners would like to check out Lisa's website, it's Paul gets a little excited when he reads these things too quickly. It's
Top. Since March, I hope to be Lisa Hall, consultant, college, a college webpage, http://home.sats.rr.com, Lisa Hall.
That's home.satx.rr.com/home/Lisa Hall.
Webpage, http://home.sats.rr.com, Lisa Hall.
Okay.
Last night, Tuesday, I tried downloading the two OPML files featured on your website. However, neither file was available. IE told me that the pages were unavailable. What gives? Michael Killian, K4M.
Man, this is embarrassing, Michael. I screwed up, and I'm going to have those fixed this morning.
Hi, Larry. You sound so much like me when I go shopping for electronics. I just had to laugh a couple times. No virus found in this...
Do you get excited when you see a new PC? I know I do sometimes. Okay, let's go on to our voicemail.
No frame. Inbox Outlook Studio Recorder Group.
Hi, Larry. It's Edward Alonzo from Arkansas again. Just wanted to call you and let you know that those binaural microphones that you used on Friday afternoon, August 5th, Google Tips podcast were very good for the walk home that you did. I think I listened to it on a pair of headphones this time since I knew you were doing some more stereotype work, and I'm assuming you were using the iRiver IFP899, which, by the way, I'm looking into purchasing one of those. Haven't found one that they're kind of up there in price. There, I'm almost $200. I've looked at BestBuy.com. That was the only place I could find the actual model there of that one. I found several others. I believe the IPF799 maybe, or there were several different models, but I could not find that particular one. I'm really wanting to look into that one since it seemed to be the most accessible. That microphone, the binaural one, did sound good, and I was interested in seeing what maybe price range you picked those up for. I did notice a bit of clipping when a big truck went by, but other than that, I mean, you know, it wasn't bad, and that could have been a number of things, you know, possibly the iRiver not having an ability to limit things, or as the Olympus PS2 does. By all means, you know, they definitely sounded very, very good. You can hear the parallel traffic on your, different sides, and you can hear your crossing streets, and, you know, it sounded just like you were right there, especially listening to it on a good pair of stereo headphones. So, well, listen, I'll let you go, and I hope you have a safe trip up here to Arkansas next weekend. And I noticed you talked about doing something in Little Rock, but I don't know if that was when you were going to do it or not. But I'm about only 3 hours from there, and I travel up there quite a bit to take my wife to the hospital up there when she needs to go. Maybe we could possibly get together sometime, and I could get a chance to actually meet you. It'd really be interesting to get to see you in person, if that would be a possibility. So maybe we could get together on that one. So just shoot me an email, and maybe we could work something out on that if at all possible. But I'll let you go. I just wanted to let you know how those did sound, in my opinion. And take care. Keep up the great work. We'll see you soon. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Edward, for the comments and information there. That IFP 899, we ended up paying around $180 for it at Best Buy. I thought I had seen it on Amazon.com for $134, so you might want to check there. And yeah, I'd love to get together. We'll have to see if we can't get some kind of podcasters get together at some point, maybe at the one of the conventions next year or something. Sometime when we're both going to be in Little Rock at the same time or whatever, we can work something out. That'd be really cool. I'd love to meet you guys, too.
Hi, Larry. This is Sam in Chicago. I just wanted to comment about your podcast, about the format and quality that you going to use for it. My recommendation would be that you use a variable bitrate to do the final encoding. That way, the size of the MP3 is adjusted around your voice. There's no point in sampling at a higher rate than you need just for dialogue fidelity. And I think an encoder like LAME, if you use the preset voice command, I know LAME did not do well at lower bit rates in the older versions, but with 396 and higher, that's going to be improved. So I would suggest maybe, recording your audio however you normally do it, and then when you finally master it, then, record it all in uncompressed and lossless audio, and then encode it with an encoder at a variable bit rate. That way, we're not, wasting bandwidth to download extra resolution that we don't need. So, if you encode with the voice preset in LAME, that'll encode around 53 kilobits DBR mono, and that's more than sufficient for podcasts. As far as BitTorrent is concerned, I am very much in favor of using BitTorrent. I realize that many of your listeners will not be able to take advantage of that because they won't understand how to set it up, but there will be enough that do, and it will certainly take some of the stress and strain off of your server for those of us who don't want to subscribe to the podcast. Of course, the biggest problem you're going to run into is finding enough people to seed all of your podcasts and getting people to use the torrent to download the files and connect to the tracker rather than connecting directly to AAPH Tech. So I can understand why you might not be willing to invest the resources, but setting up a tracker really isn't that hard, and I would recommend doing it. I think it's worth the trouble personally, so maybe you'll consider that. And otherwise, keep up the great work, and I look forward to hearing more shows of interest.
Okay, Sam, thanks for the comments and suggestions and ideas. Those are some good ones. We actually have a little problem with variable bitrate at the moment. I think the key thing that could help these podcasts is one you mentioned, and that's to encode with a lossless scheme. And I don't have any equipment right now to do that, although we just did purchase an Eddyroll R1 that does that. Oh man, that thing eats up the batteries though. Rob's taking a really good close look at the accessibility and usability of that device, and I'm going to really try to talk him into doing a piece for us on it. He's come in and mentioned a few interesting details about it to me over the last couple of days. In fact, the mystery sound that we have today is done with the Eddyroll, so it's a good clean recording.
Larry, it's Joe Quinn. I have a question actually. How do you get your comments from the laser box to the MP3 files? Do you have to hook up like a phone patch or something, or do you do it through a cell phone or something? Or how do you do that? Because I was just wondering. That seems like a neat little thing. And if I ever did a podcast, I would probably do that. Sorry about the weirdness. I'm like waking up. But that's all I wanted to know. Keep up the good shows. I look forward to waking up every day and getting a new Blind Tool Tech installment. Usually it takes forever because the APH server is so dang slow. But what are you going to do? keep up the good work. And, yeah, I'm going to listen to the other one, the iRiver menus and the podcast reorganization thingy, as soon as it finishes downloading, which I believe... it's already done, I think. Excuse me. So, that sounds horrible. thanks for your continued doing of the podcast. Keep it up. Yep.
Okay, great, Joe. I'm glad you brought that up. I've been meaning to talk about the way we do these voicemails, and it's a really interesting, cool, and free service from K7.net. What happens, you call in, it records it, and then it emails me the recording. So no cords to attach, no cables to connect or anything for me. So I just get the emails, save the files, cue them up in Studio Recorder, and play them, and we're ready to go.
Hey, Larry, this is Bill Ballou, and just started in the last couple of weeks dealing with podcasting stuff, and I really enjoy your podcast. I totally understand some people's comments about how you're doing it. For them, their focus is learning and training, but, you know, I guess in my old age, there's plenty of opportunity for new information, training, and all that stuff. I really like your approach. It gives me a sense of who you are, and just has a very personal quality to it. And, you know, we all have methods for skipping ahead and so forth in these files that can eliminate stuff we don't want. But not saying that the person that had the problem with noise and all of that was wrong. That's fine for them. But for me, I really enjoy what you're doing. I don't need it to be slick and polished as much as just friendly. And, you know, you get into a lot of cool things just by your rambling, as you call it, things that might not ever come up otherwise, and I appreciate that. So just wanted to put that comment in. Thanks a lot for what you're doing. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Bill, for the comments. Appreciate those, as usual. Now I'd like to tell you about the Send To folder and how you can add items to it for your own personal use. Now, just to give you some background about what the Send To folder is, you know, usually the way this works is that you can be in Windows Explorer and pointing to a file, and you would like to do something with that file. One of the things you may want to do is open it in a text editor. You may want to send it to your compact flash card, various other things. So if there's not already a shortcut in your Send To folder, it's very easy to drop one in there. I'm clipping a little bit. Let me back off here. Apologize for that. So let's show you how to do that. I use an editor called NoteTab Pro, so I'm going to go to the desktop.
Desktop. NoteTab Pro. 19.
And highlight the icon, the shortcut for it, and put it on my clipboard with
NoteTab Pro.
Control-C. 19. Now, the next step to find your Send To folder is to open your C drive. So I typed run and C colon.
Local disk C. io.sys. Size.
Now, what we want to do now is find a folder called Documents and Settings. So let's type
Documents and Settings.
There it is.
Type.
And in case you didn't know it, you can type quickly to narrow your... You can highlight a particular folder or a file without having to scroll through all of them. So let's open that folder.
Larry. Type.
Now, what you want to do now is find your username, because each user has their own Send To folder.
Default user.
So
all users.
Default user, all users, Larry. And Larry. And mine, of course, is under Larry. That's my username on this PC.
User.dat.
Now, once you open up your username folder, there's a folder called Send To.
Send To. Type. File.
So open it up.
NoteTab Pro. Size.
Now, I already put a shortcut in my Send To folder to NoteTab Pro.
Record now.
But other ones I have in here, and you may have some of these same ones, are Record Now.
My Documents.
My Documents.
Size. Desktop.ini. Compressed Zip Folder.
Compressed Zip Folder.
Mail Recipient.
And Mail Recipient.
Desktop Create Shortcut.
And Create Shortcut. So now the way this works is that I can go back to, I can be looking at files, and if I want to open one up in my editor, Now I can just do send to. I can highlight that file, just right-click on it and pick send to, and one of my choices on send to will be Note Tab Pro. So let me show you how that works.
Larry, page file dots.
Let's find a, let's go to program files and find a
program files.
A file Note Tab Pro. That we want
Note
to look
Tab
at.
Internet Explorer, Neo Speech, Audio Shell. Neo Speech.
Let's look at Neo Speech.
Kate 16. Kate 16. Paul 16. Paul 16. Rand.txt. Neolic.rtf. Lib. Data Paul. Data Common. Data Common. Data Common. Rand.txt.
Okay, well.
Size.
TXT is not a good example to demonstrate this on because you can just press enter to open it, but just to show you the point, this doesn't have to be a text file. You can open it up.
Context menu.
By pressing the context menu.
Open O.
Go down to send to.
Print P. Edit E. Scan for virus. Open with H. Hold down. Send to N. Pull down.
And of course the real way to get there is just to press the N instead of going through this.
Compressed zip folder. Desktop create shortcut. Mail recipient. My documents. Notepad Pro.
And Notepad Pro.
FRM splash. Notepad Pro no name 0. 1.txt. Notepad Pro C program files. Notepad Pro read.txt. Notepad Pro C program files, Notepad Pro read.txt. You may need to reboot restart Windows after installation. Thanks for installing this nextup.com Neo Speech Voice.
So that brought that file right into Notepad for us. Now, let me show you the real
Notepad
way
Pro C-C-O-N-F- Neolic.rt, read.t.
So normally, if you highlight that file, you right-click.
Context menu.
And I just hit N twice.
FRM splash.
And I'm there.
Note, you may need to read before the voice.
So it's not like you have to actually go through the menus and everything. I hit N to open up the send to menu. And don't forget, you know, if you have more than one item that starts with N, you may need to hit N and enter. But I've gotten so used to hitting N twice that I don't even pay attention to it anymore. So that's the way the send to works, and you don't have to just use an editor there. If any of you programmers are familiar with Reg Server 32, which is an application that is used to register components in Windows, I use that. I put a shortcut to Reg Server 32 in my send to folder, and then when I want to register a DLL, I just point to it in Explorer, right-click, hit Send To, and Reg Server 32, and it registers the DLL. And that works for any program that accepts command line parameters. So their possibilities are endless there. Now, another example that you may be interested in, if you actually end up sending a lot of things to the send to folder, you may actually want to create a shortcut in the send to folder to the send to folder. So if you find a program that you would like to send a lot of things to, you can just highlight that program, click send to, and send to folder. So let me show you an example of that. Let's go ahead and open the C drive back up.
Combo. Edit box.
C colon.
Windows Explorer. Page file dot six.
And documents
Eight.
And
documents
settings.
Larry.
Larry.
User dot dat. App send to.
Now we're going to highlight the send to folder. Then we are going to create a shortcut to it. So we'll right-click.
Context menu.
Hit send to.
Send to and pull down. Compressed zip folder.
And we're going to pick desktop shortcut.
Desktop create shortcut. Send to. Type. File folder.
Okay, so let's go ahead and open up the send to folder now.
Note Pro.
And let's go to the desktop.
Desktop. Mood log.
And get the shortcut to the send to folder.
Spy subtract. Studio recorder. Shortcut to send to. 23.
Now, I'm going to get that off the desktop, so I'm going to cut it with Control
Shortcut
X.
To send to.
We're going to switch back to the send to folder.
Window eyes. Master volume. Window. Notepad Pro C program. Inbox Outlook. Studio record. Send to. Send to.
And then we're going to drop that shortcut into the send to folder.
Notepad Pro. Size.
And
shortcut to send to.
There it is. All right, now, if we want to add something to our Send To folder, let's say I would like to add my compact flash drive. So I'm going to go to My Computer.
Start menu, Media Center, M, My Documents, M, Pull-Tab, My Pictures, M, My Music, M, My Computer, M. 3 floppy, A.
And we're going to highlight the compact flash drive.
DVD-R, DVD, Memory Stick, F, Compact Flash, G. Type.
And we're going to right-click on it.
Context menu.
Go to Send To.
Open O, Explore X, Search, Scan with Spy, Autoplay, Sharing and Secure, Open S port, Scan for Viruses with Entiver S, Compact Flash G, Type, Removable Disk, 6 of 10.
Well, actually, Send To is not available on a folder, so we're going to create a shortcut, and there's a couple easy ways to do that, and,
Context menu, Open O, Explore X, Search, Scan with Spy, Subtract, Autoplay P, Sharing and Security. Open as portable media device. Scan for viruses within format. Cut T. Copy C. Create shortcut S.
Create shortcut.
Yes. Button. Dialog. Shortcut. Windows cannot create a shortcut here. Do you want the shortcut to be placed on the desktop instead? Default. Yes.
Yep.
My computer. Compact flash G.
So type. Let's close my computer.
Shortcut to send to. Size. Shortcut to send to. Shortcut to send to.
And let's
Shortcut to send to. Shortcut to send to.
Let's find that shortcut we just made.
Shortcut to send to. Short. Desktop create shortcut. Sign. Desktop create shortcut. Mail recipient.
Oh, let's get desktop. Back to our desktop.
Mood logic. Spy subtract. Studio recorder. Shortcut to compact flash G. 23. Of 23.
And we're actually going to rename this just to compact flash instead of shortcut. There's actually a Tweak UI tool that you can install that I hadn't done yet on this new PC that gets rid of that shortcut jazz. So, I'm going to right-click.
Context menu.
Hit M.
Edit box. Shortcut.
And I hit Control-Home, and then I'm going to hit Shift-Control-Right arrow.
Shortcut. Two.
And
selected.
Then delete that.
C.
And now I've got...
Compact F.
Compact F.
Flash G. Compact F. Flash G.
Compact Flash G.
Mood logic. 10. Of 23.
Let me get back to the desktop.
Send to. Mail recipient. Desktop. Mood logic. 10. Of
so
23.
I'll hit C.
Compact flash G. 23.
Now I'm going to cut that with.
Compact flash G. 23.
Oh, actually, I can send that straight to my send to from here, I believe. Let's check.
Context menu. Open O. Explore X. Search. Scan with spy. Autoplay. Scan for viruses. Format. Send to and pull down.
Yep.
Compressed zip folder.
So we'll pick shortcut to send to.
Shortcut to send to. Mood logic.
Okay, now I have a new item in my send to menu that will send a file straight to my compact flash card. So let's find a file to send to the flash card. We'll go to my... actually, I have some podcasts I need to send over there.
Combo.
So I'll go to C:\.
Windows Explorer.
Pod. Pods.
Pod. Type.
Now this is a whole
file
folder. So I can go
Context
send
menu.
To.
Send to and pull down. Compact Flash G.
And there it is. Compact Flash G. Just hit enter on it.
Pods.
And
type.
It copies
file
the whole thing over.
Date modified. 8/10/2005/12:59 a.m. 12. Cancel. Button. No. Pointer rooted to button. T0. 5. Copying. Copying. T0. 5. 0. 8. From Thomas Edison's selected default. 3 minutes remaining.
So that's sending that whole folder over the compact flash drive. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Don't forget, we'll be out until next Tuesday with, there'll be no new podcast till then. I'm your host, Larry Skutkan. Our phone number to leave a comment on the line is 206-984-9203. Email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And our website is aph.org/tech/bct. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see you next week.